Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. You can pay for almost anything on a monthly subscription these days. Streaming services, of course, for movies and music and website hosting. You can even have a subscription for cat food and razors. Turns out you can actually now pay a monthly subscription fee for financial advice. What? Yeah. It is not as popular here in Canada as it is in the US, for example, but some planners and advisors are offering this comp model to their clients. And our next guest is one of them. Sam Lightman is co-founder of Achieve Wealth Management. He's here now to tell us how it works and what some of the pros and cons are of this particular setup. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks so much for having me.
Why did you decide to start offering a subscription model to your clients?
I noticed there was a gap in the market when clients that needed financial advice would get turned away from CFPs simply because they didn't have enough money to invest. Therefore, the fees that their business would generate wouldn't be enough to pay for the services of a CFP at a traditional firm. And looking down at the States has always been a big driver of how I've run my practice and seeing how they are operating with individuals in very creative ways to help service clients and to help give them the financial advice that they need. I looked down at the States and saw, okay, well, they're doing this already. Why can't we do it up here? And so we had the conversation with our dealer and got the approval to go ahead and do it. And clients love it. It's a really cool model where, you know, they don't have to invest anything with a financial planner to get good qualified financial advice.
So tell me how it works.
So typically what happens is clients who are in the higher income earners, but are just starting out, right? They've graduated university or they have student debt or debt of any kind that they want to focus on paying down and don't have a lot of money to invest. They'll typically get turned away by the traditional institution. And so the way it works is they come in and we build out a financial plan. And then we have quarterly meetings, in some cases, monthly meetings, depending on the need of the client, but quarterly meetings to ensure implementation of the plan. And in the meantime, clients can call in and say, hey, Sam, something's come up. We need to talk. I've changed a job. We're expecting things are, you know, changing. So we need to update the plan. But minimum, we update it quarterly. And clients have the all the privileges that they would have if they were also an investment client with my firm.
Now, Netflix, I don't know, what is it, $23.99 these days? I don't know. It's some number like that. What is a subscription for financial advice? How much does that cost?
So it ranges from depending on the services offered. Sometimes people will only offer money coaching, budgeting, and those types of things. And those can be, you know, quite low in cost if it's mostly automated and not as high touch. The services that I have start at $199 a month and can go up from there depending on what the client needs. If they're a business owner, if their situation's relatively simple, those types of things. But we start at the $199 a month.
Now, people are more familiar with the three basic fee models out there because a lot of us have been banging on about them for a couple of years. So there is commission-based, where you buy a mutual fund and your advisor gets a commission. There is fee-based, where it's like, say, 1% on your total assets under management. And then there's fee-only, where you're paying an amount kind of like you're paying an accountant to do your taxes. This, to me, based on how you've described it, sounds like a fee-only model divided by 12. Right or wrong?
I would say that it has that component, and not entirely, though. In some cases, when clients need an in-depth financial plan up front before we can work on any implementation or continued servicing, we do still charge an upfront planning fee. And so typically the cases that I've run into where this is really helpful, though, is cases where people are bringing in quite a bit of money, but don't necessarily know how to best allocate it. And so when we're going through, especially sometimes with people who need the monthly meetings, we go through like, listen, how did your last month go, right? What did you spend your money on? We do some behavioral coaching around cash flow and budgeting. And those types of things can be really, really helpful for people who find themselves not able to save, even though they're good income earners. And I think lots of us may be going through that right now. So it's not necessarily just the planning fee divided by 12. In some cases, it's turned into that, but it's not always the case.
How do you ensure that you don't underprice? Because I can imagine there's a huge difference in what clients need from you. There are some who are like, I don't even know. It's no, you know, I'm not calling, you know, twice a day. And other clients who need a tremendous amount of handholding, either because of their circumstances or because of their temperament.
We try to flush that out in the first few months of working together. None of these clients are under contract to be here for a year or anything like that. So what we do is we establish a level of service expectations and we go in and say, listen, like, okay, here's your situation. Here's what you've done in the past. What do you need to do going forward? Does this require monthly or quarterly servicing structure? And based on what it requires, we'll go from there. If we find out that it's not sufficient or the client's needing a lot more, I guess we'll call it handholding than we expected initially, then we'll go back to the client and we'll say, listen, I'll go back to the client and say, listen, like we should probably look at changing our structure. This is how we've, you know, priced this in the past, but we're obviously needing a lot more of a high touch nature. Or sometimes we get the opposite, right? Where clients don't book that monthly meeting or quarterly meeting. And we've really got to follow up on that because we don't want to make sure clients are paying for something they're not receiving. And that's the other side of it too. So it goes both ways a little bit. I don't think underpricing is necessarily or overpricing right now. It's looking at, you know, what do clients think is fair? What's fair for me to spend my time on this? And going from there, and that'll change probably on an annual basis.
Who is the ideal client, would you say? How would you describe them both demographically and psychographically?
Well, I think that depends on the planner that you're asking. I love working with millennials.
I'm asking you, so you tell me.
Yeah, I love working with millennials. I love working with people who are motivated, career-driven, and who want to build wealth, but also understand that, you know, the pathway to building wealth is through the occupation that they've chosen and offloading the areas where they may that need to be offloaded to experts like legal, accounting, and in my opinion, financial planning as well. So those are my ideal clients. People ages about, 29 to 42 right now, and career motivated individuals.
There has been real strides on fee transparency over the course of the last, 5 to 7 years or so. What should people know about other fees that might be relevant here? So you've got the $200 a month for as the subscription. If you were selling the mutual funds, for example, there'd also be a management expense ratio on those funds. Tell us about how those other costs are factored in.
If a client's on a subscription model, they do not invest their money with my firm. So we have, obviously, when we go through other funds that they may be holding, like if they're self-directing their money or if they work with another financial advisor, we like can give an opinion if they were to self-direct in those types of things. We try to stay away from recommending specific funds if they're not actually investing the money with my firm. But there's great solutions out there for DIYers that are very simple. There's no additional fees when clients pay subscriptions. If for some reason we determine that they need insurance, life insurance or critical illness or something like that, which my firm is licensed to do, what we'll do is we'll take the value of the commission that we make and credit that towards the planning fees. So it's all make sure that we're being transparent about that.
I understand the consumer need here. It makes perfect sense to me. What is harder to wrap my mind around is your interest in pursuing this, given that the way financial advisors make the biggest amount of money is they go for the big fish and they, whether they're commission-based at 2.3% or fee-based at 1%, they need the biggest bucket of money. And then the percentage fee just kind of comes from that. Why would you pursue smaller fish?
I don't look at it like small fish versus big fish, although obviously from an economic standpoint, we have to make sure that the practice is sustainable. I look at it as, what investment am I making in a client today, and what's that return going to get me in 10 years from now? I'm young. I can play the long game in this industry. We're working with people I'm working with people right now who have high growth potential. So the reason why I'm choosing to do this right now is to invest my time and nurture the relationships with the people that I know are going to continue to grow with my practice. And it makes a lot of business sense to do it when we look at the 10-year trajectory, especially being very selective on the clients that I do choose to work with. We are working with clients that are going to be high earning clients, that are going to be clients that value advice. And because it doesn't necessarily make sense to do the investment model now, for a lot of these people, they're getting just garbage advice from sources that, I think the stats are like 70 to 80% of people are getting their advice from social media. Now, I'm very active on social media from a financial literacy perspective, and that's how I get a lot of clients. But at the end of the day, there's not a lot of regulated advisors on these platforms. So they're turning to places that are unregulated or places that are not as highly trained to give good advice to people, but they need it. And so for me, this makes a lot of sense because these clients will grow over time.
Really interesting stuff. Sam, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Bruce.
Sam Lightman is with Achieve Wealth Management, and he was here to talk about a subscription model for financial advice.